Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 22nd, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, we've been studying verses 11 and 12, which sounds like this in corrected translation. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, the one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. God, in his infinite and matchless grace, has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ: temporal security and eternal security. Eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, the moment of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Through the gift of eternal life, and the baptism of the Spirit, which enters you into union with Christ and sharing the eternal life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who believes in Jesus Christ can never, ever lose his salvation. Eternal security. But we have also been given temporal security. And temporal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline. So here's the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And when anyone comes to that cross and places their faith in Jesus Christ, at that instant, the justice of God imputes to every believer the righteousness of God. And that establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing, 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 blessing. The plan of God for each one of us is to bless us. And it starts right out instantly at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. There are 40 salvation blessings that come to every single believer at the very instant of faith in Jesus Christ. And then from that day of salvation right up to today, God sends down that grace pipeline, logistical grace, blessing and support. And that is temporal security. Temporal security. Every single day, day after day after day, from the day of salvation right up to today, God sends logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you might fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And when you make the good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you attain spiritual maturity, when you fulfill the ultimate objective of having virtue, love, brought to completion in your heart, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing in time, and greater grace blessing awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. So, not only has God provided us with eternal security, but He's provided for us temporal security. In temporal security, the 40 salvation blessings and the logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the devil's world, they come to all believers, winner believers or loser believers. And the individual believer cannot work for or earn or deserve either eternal security nor temporal security. God, in His grace, does all the work in temporal security, and God, in His grace, does all the work in eternal security. Now, we have studied recently the doctrine of eternal security and the doctrinal rationales of eternal security not too long ago. So I have been putting the spotlight on the doctrine of temporal security. God's grace, blessings of temporal security. And we have studied the first 8 points of the doctrine of temporal security. Point one was when you make bad decisions and fail and fall flat on your face, the Lord upholds you. He upholds you with His hand. And this is as seen in Psalm 37. And this is the psalm that the human author is David. And in Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, as David did fall, when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Now, David failed miserably. It's recorded in the Word of God. He committed sins of adultery. He committed the sin of murder. And yet David was still alive because of temporal security. David was disciplined severely, but he came to his senses and he rebounded and turned back to God and to the Word of God. The cursing in his life was turned to blessing. He was restored as king. He became the greatest king in Israel's history. And he was given phenomenal greater grace blessings as a winner believer. Point two, there are two components of temporal security. The first one, the 40 salvation blessings given at the moment of faith in Christ. And secondly, logistical grace, blessing, and support given to all believers, winners and losers alike. Point three, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have the 40 blessings they received at salvation. You don't lose them. And point four, Christians who fail to live the spiritual life still have logistical grace, blessing, and support coming to them every single day to keep them alive in the middle of the devil's world in hope that they will come to their senses and rebound and live the spiritual life. This means God will support and sustain you regardless of how deserving or undeserving you are. Point five, temporal security includes three factors of divine provision. Factor number one, life support. Factor number two, logistical grace blessing. Factor number three, divine provision to live the spiritual life. Factor number one, life support, is provided for every church-age believer in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. This explains how and why we are alive every moment. The only reason we are alive is because of logistical grace, temporal security. We do not earn nor deserve it. There is no work we can accomplish to keep ourselves alive. Factor number two, logistical grace blessing is provided for every church age believer. The justice of God sends logistical grace blessings to you. Food and shelter and clothing to the indwelling righteousness of God in all of us, winner believers and loser believers alike. And this emphasizes once again God's amazing grace. You are alive only because of the grace of God, not because of anything you do. Now, winner believers will utilize logistical grace and advance to maturity and glorify God to the maximum. Loser believers coast on logistical grace, but they never utilize it. Factor number three, the divine provision for every church age believer to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And that divine provision includes the completed canon of Scripture. How blessed! We have the completed canon of Scripture, the Word of God. You have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. God has a few male believers with the gift of communication of pastor-teacher provided for you so you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. You have the universal indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, which is the base of operations so that you can be empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled, empowered with the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. You have the two royal commissions. You have been commissioned a royal priest. and you have been commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And we have the local church, and the local church is the divinely appointed classroom for the church age. And we have the laws of divine establishment, authority and freedom and privacy, and we have the provisions of human life, both with good health and in poor health. And then point six, temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support is given to the believer down that grace pipeline. And then point seven, since the source of all temporal security is the justice of God, this means that God is infinitely fair in supporting all believers, winners and losers alike. God found a way to bless us through the divine policy called grace. God cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness and cannot bless anything less than perfect righteousness. And therefore, God sends His grace blessings down the grace pipeline from the justice of God on one end to the imputed righteousness in us on the other end. All life support and blessing to both winner and loser believer alike comes down this grace pipeline. And this means that in logistical grace, the justice of God is the source of all divine support and blessing, and the righteousness of God in the believer is the recipient of that divine support and blessing. And that brought us to point eight. And in point eight, we had the testimonies of temporal security. The testimonies of temporal security. First of all, there was the anthropomorphic testimony found in Deuteronomy 33:27, which says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." I love this verse. I always quote this verse. If I ever get on a plane and I'm right on the plane, I think about and quote this verse to myself. Underneath are the everlasting arms. The second testimony, the biblical definition of temporal security in 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, logistical grace, blessing, and support, you may have an abundance for every good work." And the third testimony, it comes from David. David gives the testimony of old age. Psalm 37:25. "I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, logistical grace given to imputed righteousness. Nor have I seen their children begging bread." That's temporal security. The fourth testimony is the testimony of the shepherd in Psalm 23:1-6. "The Lord is the one shepherding me, and therefore I cannot lack for anything. He causes me to lie down in green pastures, logistical grace, blessing, and support. He leads me to waters of refreshment, logistical grace, blessing, and support. He restores my soul," rebound when you get out of fellowship with God. "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, dying grace, I cannot fear evil because You are with me. Your rod, divine discipline, and Your staff, divine deliverance, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, logistical grace, blessing, and support. You have anointed my head with oil," promotion, And my cup is overflowing with greater grace blessings. Only goodness and grace will pursue me all the days of my life. That's both logistical grace blessing and support and greater grace blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The fifth testimony comes from the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs, logistical grace, blessing, and support. My God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The sixth testimony comes from our Lord. And he addressed this to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Then he, the Lord, assured me, my grace, logistical grace, blessing and support, has been and still is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness, and therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may reside in me. And then the seventh testimony comes from the prophet Jeremiah, found in Lamentations 3, 20 and 25. And Jeremiah, one of the great, great servants of the Lord, was a prophet to the southern kingdom, Judah, when the believers in Judah were apostate in degeneracy. They had turned away from God. They had turned away from the word of God. And Jeremiah kept warning them, turn back to God and His word. And if you don't, God will bring the fifth cycle of national discipline, judgment. And the judgment will come from the Chaldeans and from Nebuchadnezzar. And they will invade the land. They will destroy the southern kingdom. They will destroy Jerusalem. They will destroy the temple. And they will slaughter most of the people. Well, they didn't listen to Jeremiah. In fact, they threw Jeremiah in a pit to kill him. Well, Jeremiah was delivered, and Jeremiah sat up on a hillside and watched the Chaldeans come in with Nebuchadnezzar at their lead. And as he sat up on that hill, he watched the southern kingdom Judah destroyed, the old men slaughtered, the children slaughtered, the women raped and slaughtered. And there were a few survivors, and those few survivors were taken in slavery back to Babylon. Now, one of my favorite hymns is, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That comes from Lamentations. And what that is saying is, Jeremiah taught them and taught them and taught them about God and His grace and His faithfulness. And after this hit, well, a lot of those people, when you see that, you change your thinking. And they change their thinking. And they turn back to God and the Word of God, and they started thinking about what Jeremiah taught. And every day on that march back to Babylon, every morning they would think about Lamentations 3. So the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah, Lamentations 3, verses 20 to 25 says, surely my soul remembers and is humbled within me. Jeremiah's grace orientation. He realizes that God is everything and he is absolutely nothing. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have confidence, because the Lord's great mercies never cease. The perpetuation of temporal security, even in times of disaster, even when the nation is destroyed and the survivors taken into slavery. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have confidence in Him. In times of great suffering, in times of great disaster, in times of great adversity, the Lord is good to those who trust in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Now that brings us to point 9 in our study on temporal security. Point 9. It is temporal security that keeps the believer alive in the middle of the devil's world. Right now, the world is being ruled by a fallen angel. Satan is the one in charge of what's going on in the world. And as we witness everything going on around the world, as we witness what's happening in our own nation, and I love America. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedoms. I love the fact I concentrate on all those men who over the years fought on battlefields all over the world to preserve the freedoms that we have in this country. And the freedom that you had this evening to come to Upland Bible Church. You see, you had the freedom to come here. And you have the freedom to stay home and not to come. But the freedom you have was purchased on battlefields all over the world. And some of those great visible heroes gave the supreme sacrifice. They gave their lives so that we could have these freedoms. I love America. It breaks my heart to see what's going on in America today. And it breaks my heart to see that believers have God and the Word of God is not important at all. And that breaks my heart. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. Temporal security keeps the believer alive in the middle of the devil's world. Subpoint 1. No believer can live on this earth apart from temporal security. No believer can live on this earth apart from temporal security. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. No believer can live on this earth apart from temporal security. Hebrews 2, starting at verse 14, that through death, and this is the salvation work of Christ on the cross, that through death, His spiritual death on the cross, He, the Lord Jesus Christ, might render powerless Him who has the power of death. And who is that? That is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives. One of the greatest enslavements in life is the fear of death. And there are many, many, many people enslaved over the fear of death. There are many, many Christians who are enslaved because of the fear of death. But you should never, ever, ever be afraid of death. For the believer in Jesus Christ, death is a promotion. You're absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a promotion. It's great. It's a time for celebration. And therefore, when it comes to that time, we have two phases of our life. There's the living phase and there's the dying phase. And we are here to glorify God in the living phase of our life, and we're here to glorify God in the dying phase of our life. And when it comes to that dying phase of your life, you're here to glorify God. And that means you should have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You should have occupation with Jesus Christ. You should have the great happiness of Jesus Christ in your soul. You should be like David in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you, Jesus Christ, you're with me. Occupation with Christ. And Jesus Christ has your hand. You're in the hand of Christ. And He will go right with you through all the way from salvation, the living phase of your life, and the dying phase of your life. You're in the hand of Jesus Christ. And therefore, enjoy the ride. It's not a time to be afraid. Enjoy the ride. Jesus Christ has your hand. And now you've come to the dessert of life. I kind of look at the living phase of life as eating liver. Now, I have learned to kind of like liver when Debbie fixed it. When my mother served it, I could eat my shoe and it would be easier to eat than that liver. She cooked the living hell out of it. It was just dry as could be. And I hated liver. Now I view the living phase of life as eating liver. The dying phase of my life, I look at chocolate dessert. Chocolate pie with whipped cream on top and a maraschino cherry. Now, I love chocolate. I really love dark chocolate. Now, I've gone through the living phase of the life. I'm not saying I'm in the dying phase of life. My knees are dead. But so far, the brain's still cooking. But when we get to the dying phase, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the chocolate pie, whipped cream, maraschino cherry. I'm going to relax and enjoy the ride. I know Jesus Christ is holding one hand. I know God the Father is holding the other hand. And when he says, Pastor Olson, get up here, I hope I'm got enough to say, all right, let's light this candle. Let's go. Subpoint two. Temporal security plays a fantastic role in keeping winners and losers alive. Temporal security plays a fantastic role in keeping winners and losers alike alive. Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19 says, behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who wait with confidence for His unfailing grace to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in economic disaster. The word is famine. That's economic disaster. Turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Verse 13. Psalm 56:13. Again, this is the human author of Psalm 56 is David. And he writes in Psalm 56, verse 13, "For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 8, "For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Subpoint 3. Under temporal security, God can and does prolong life. Under temporal security, God can and does prolong life. Turn back to Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 11. "May the groans of the prisoners come before you. By the strength of your arm, preserve those condemned to die." And then go back a little way further, Psalm 68. Psalm 68, starting at verse 19. "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who delivers. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." And then turn over to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death." Point 10, temporal security includes 6 categories of support. Temporal security includes 6 categories of support. Category number 1, life-sustaining support. Life-sustaining support is provided by God. God sustains the life of every believer on earth. No believer can depart from life apart from the will of God. And therefore, all the forces of hell cannot remove one believer apart from God's permission. And God also provides all that it takes to support life. And we saw that in Lamentations 3:19-26. Category number 2, temporal needs. Temporal needs such as food and shelter and clothing, transportation and time and a job. These are all provided by God. And we saw that in Philippians 4:19. Category number 3, security provision. And this includes temporal security and eternal security. Your security is from God. This includes the assignment of guardian angels. Every one of us has a guardian angel. And when you assemble here in Upland Bible Church, your guardian angel's here too. The angels are here. Now the angels, your guardian angels, they're all positive. They're positive. They have humility. They are great. They are just loving everything about it. Now sometimes you come and you're not positive, or you're having a bad day, or you're negative. You reject this or reject that. And your guardian angel is going, your guardian angel wants to slap you upside the head and say, hey, wake up here. We all have this includes the assignment of guardian angels and the provision of the laws of divine establishment for freedom so that we can advance to maturity. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification is the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected, temporal security, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. The fourth category of support, spiritual riches. Oh, we have the most fantastic spiritual riches. Spiritual riches are provided for us in the church age. Spiritual riches that believers in the Old Testament times never knew anything about. Spiritual riches are provided by God, such as our portfolio of invisible assets. And what makes up the spiritual riches of our portfolio of invisible assets? There are four categories. First of all, primary assets. Primary assets include election to privilege. We have all been elected to privilege. That's a primary asset. And also predestination. So election to privilege and predestination, these are primary assets in our portfolio of invisible assets. Second category, secondary assets. And the secondary assets include four things. First of all, volitional assets related to positive volition. Positive volition to the Word of God. And your volition related to priorities. What are your priorities in life? Are there other things that are more important than assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ? And then the second part, production assets. And that is so that you can have maximum divine good production in your life that glorifies God to the maximum. And the third set part of the secondary assets is suffering for blessing. And God provides for you as you reach spiritual adulthood, greater grace blessing package. And in that greater grace blessing package, there is a very special category, undeserved suffering for blessing. And that's for the spiritually adult believer. When you reach that point, you have qualified because you have God's problem-solving devices in your heart. You have the precisely correct procedure to clear these hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing. So suffering for blessing assets, which include, well, for Paul, the thorn testing, momentum testing, evidence testing. And then the fourth category in secondary assets, invisible impact assets. Invisible impact. And these come in three parts. First of all, invisible personal impact. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, there is a fantastic principle of doctrine. It's called blessing by association. And all those people in your periphery will be blessed by association with you as a spiritually adult believer. So there's personal impact. Blessing by association. That goes for your family. That goes for the people in your neighborhood. That goes for the people at job. Blessing by association with the spiritually adult believer. And then there is historical impact. When you reach spiritual maturity, then you become a part of the pivot of mature believers, and the nation is blessed. The United States of America is blessed by association. That's historical impact. What's the greatest thing you can do for your country? To be here. Not to be home, not to be doing a million other things out there, but to be here, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attaining spiritual maturity, becoming a part of the pivot. That's the greatest thing you can do for America. And then there's international impact. The international impact is the function of worldwide missions. And we see that in the Philippines, the La Rosa family. The Philippines have been blessed by association with the La Rosa family. Ralph and Cindy, Ralph is in heaven now, but Ralph and Cindy have trained and prepared the indigenous Filipinos, and they are now doing the job. And as Ralph said over and over again, when I do my job right, I work my way out of a job, because now Filipinos have believed in Christ as their Savior. They've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Those who have recognized they have the gift of communication, now they're trained, and now they have pastors, indigenous pastors all over the Philippines right now. And that nation is blessed by association, the function of worldwide missions. So that's secondary assets. So first, primary assets, secondary assets. The third is personnel assets. And the personnel assets are spiritual gifts. That's the personnel. We all have at least one spiritual gift. We studied this last night on sunergao, the verb for teamwork. Teamwork. And when you have a congregation of positive believers with humility that have grown up to spiritual adulthood, that local church will have great, great teamwork. Everybody will be on the same page. There will be virtue love brought to completion in their hearts, and therefore no mental attitude sins, no sins of the tongue, no judging and slandering and arguing and fighting in the church. That goes on in churches all over America. That goes on in fundamental churches all over America. Fighting and complaining and arguing. Mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue. But when you have a local church where the believers have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, they have personal love for God and occupation with Christ, and that motivates impersonal love, virtue, honor, integrity toward all. And you work together as a team. And it's fantastic, and it's been fantastic here for years and years and years. It's fun for me to see a team working as God intended it to work. That's the personnel asset, spiritual gift. And the fourth, unique asset. And what is that unique asset? The indwelling of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That makes up our spiritual riches. Spiritual riches are provided by God, such as our portfolio of invisible assets, God's problem-solving devices, the unique factors of the church age. It also includes the provision of doctrinal teaching from your pastor, the privacy of your priesthood, the canon of Scripture, and a local church are all provided for you by the grace of God. Category number 5 is logistical grace blessings. Logistical grace blessings of support are given to every believer, winners and losers alike, and the sixth category is God preserves us from death. Point 11, the temporal security not to worry passage. The temporal security not to worry passage. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I like to call this the not to worry passage. And we have a lot of, you know, Harlan and Joy Dotson, and they listen to the classes. Every day they listen to the classes. And Harlan would always have a phrase, not to worry, not to worry, not to worry. Well, that's what this is. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Jesus Christ is holding this Bible class on temporal security. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? Well, I look at some of you, maybe not for some of you. Is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, this is a great lie Jesus Christ taught. Are you not much more valuable than birds? You bird brains. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to your height? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little doctrine. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All right. Well, let's take a look at this a little more clearly. One, in this passage, Jesus Christ gives four commands. Four times he says not to worry. Two, we are commanded not to worry because God, in temporal security, will provide for us regardless of our spiritual status. We are commanded not to worry because God in temporal security will provide for us, regardless of our spiritual status. Three, are you more important than a bird? If so, then not to worry. Don't worry about your life, verse 25. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink, verses 25 to 27. Don't worry about your body, what you will wear, verses 26 to 30. Don't worry about tomorrow, verse 34. Four. Fear, worry, anxiety, apprehension is rejection or ignorance of God's temporal security for you. Fear, worry, anxiety, apprehension is rejection or ignorance of God's temporal security for you. Yet God continues to support even those who worry. Five, God provides logistical grace support for winners and for losers. Losers worry all the time. And worry is fear. And we know that the more things you surrender to fear, the more things you fear. And the more things about which you worry, the more things you worry about. The extent to which you surrender to fear, you increase the power of fear in your life. The extent to which you surrender to worry, you increase the power of worry in your life. And yet God still keeps you alive. The more things that acquire the power of fear in your life, the greater your capacity for arrogance and becoming a loser believer. The more you acquire the power of worry in your life, the greater your capacity for worry and becoming a loser. And yet, God still supports you temporal security day after day after day after day. Six, the application of verse 34 is that you can so live in the past and worry about the future that you do not live today. The application of verse 34 is that you can so live in the past and worry about the future that you do not live today. Seven. Grace gives you the ability to live one day at a time. One day at a time. Not handicapped by the past and not distracted by the future. Eight, temporal security emphasizes the principle of living today and fulfilling the principle of living one day at a time. You live one day at a time, and each day you live it as unto the Lord. You live one day at a time, and you live that day as unto the Lord. God has given you temporal security. You don't have to worry about any of these things. God's given you temporal security. So live one day at a time, and live each day as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So the not to worry passage on temporal security. All right, well, we haven't finished temporal security yet. Hey, we're just getting going. Come back next week and we'll start with point 12. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.